high atop the pastoral center of the Diocese of Camden, you're listening to Talking Catholic.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Talking Catholic. I'm Jen Morrow, and with me, as always, is Mike Walsh.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how prepared you check somebody out, say,
nope.
You got it. Nope, there's always going to be a little gurgle right there in the opening. And are we going to re-record it? No, we are not. We are going to muddle through. We're just going to call it out and move along.
I was just saying, now there's a reason we don't record on Mondays. Now this is why. This is it.
Yeah, nothing good happens on a Monday. It's a terrible thing. So we are recording early. It's the month of August, and a number of us are going to be hopefully taking some time off. I know I am at the end of the month. So we are banking a bunch of episodes early here in August. So our timelines may be odd when we reference things, folks, but it's because our dear Catholic Star Herald and Talking Catholic colleagues deserve some time off. Right, Jen?
That's right, Mike.
There you go. Especially
me. And we were just talking about your vacation on the last podcast, that you'll be heading off to Alaska.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about that. I remember I told you earlier that there was something I was thinking about talking on the podcast, and it was that I wanted to go on a rant between the difference between a vacation and a trip. I don't believe vacations and trips are synonymous. A vacation is a vacation. A trip does not necessarily mean you're going to get the rest and relaxation of a vacation. If you go to Disney World with your family, that is not a vacation. That is a trip.
True.
You come back more exhausted than when you went. If you go to the shore or the Poconos for a week and you just chill out for a week, I consider that a vacation because you are actually getting the rest and relaxation that one should get on a vacation. I am taking a cruise. I have no idea what that will be referred to as until I get back. Well, there's going to be excursions every single day, so I don't know if the excursions are going to be more like a trip or more like a vacation.
But they're optional excursions, right? So you could opt to continue laying in a lounge chair on the deck.
Which is why I am choosing not to refer to it. I'm not sure what I'm going to refer to it until I get back. That's
okay.
Why.
So, well, the listeners will be waiting with bated breath to find out if this was a vacation or a trip.
That episode will come out on September 4th. I believe we'll find out whether or not I had a trip or a vacation, but I am looking forward to it. A nice cruise to Canada. Actually, I'm going to Montreal or not Montreal. I'm not going to Montreal at all. I'm going to Maine, Rhode Island, and Nova Scotia.
So, you're also not going to Alaska, but for some reason, it's always in my head that you're going to Alaska.
Not going to the other side of Canada. Yeah. Not going
literally the other side.
But it is a fully packed August. You know, we wanted to talk about one of the big events in South Jersey coming up. We talk about it every year, and that's because every year I encourage people to take part in it. For the Feast of the Assumption, many, if not all, of our shore parishes do a special ceremony called the Wedding of the Sea. It's most notable on the vigil of the Feast of the Assumption on the 14th. In Wildwood, and on the feast itself on the 15th in Atlantic City. But then I think almost every single one of the shore parishes also do it. The other shore parishes also do it on the 15th. And it's the Wedding of the Sea. It's an opportunity for us to come together as a community and bless the union between the sea and the shore communities so that they may continue to benefit each other. And it's always one of my favorite weekends of the year. Ironically, on my wedding anniversary every year, which I have, my wife and I have given each other a little high five on every single one of them, except for my 20th. My 20th, I actually skipped the Wedding of the Sea and hung out with the wife instead. But otherwise, see you, honey. I'll be back around 9.
Oh, man. Well, I'm excited for this year because last year was my first year working for the Diocese of Camden, and I went to the Mass and Wedding of the Sea in Atlantic City, St. Nicholas of Tolentine Church. And this year I'm going to the one the day before. I'm going on August 14th at 4:30 p.m. to Notre Dame de la Mer, St. Anne Church in Wildwood. to see Bishop celebrate Mass, and then celebrate the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and then the Wedding of the Sea. So I'm excited to go to this parish. I've just been in Wildwood recently for the first time, which is shocking since I've lived here in New Jersey for almost 20 years and I've never been to Wildwood. So now I get to go twice in 3 weeks. So it's exciting.
It's of all the Atlantic City one in its heyday was massive. I mean massive. They sold out Boardwalk Hall. 20,000 people would come. It was enormous. And then over time it shrunk a little bit, and then it started to grow again, and it had gotten much larger. It was back in Boardwalk Hall. It was really impressive to see. And then COVID hit and it got smaller again. So Atlantic City will be at St. Nicholas of Tolentine Church at noon on the 15th. It's going to be it'll be another great event. A bishop will also be there. But the fun thing for me, and I've talked about this many times on the podcast, is when for the masses that Bishop does, one in Wildwood, one in Atlantic City, he goes into a rowboat with the lifeguards. They row out depending on the level of waves and breakers, they might go out 10 feet. They might go out 100 yards. But it's more fun when they go out 100 yards because he almost capsized once. I keep waiting for that to happen or to see him jettisoned out, or he and the lifeguard. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I'm a photographer. So I want to get that. I want to capture that picture. So I'm there taking pictures every single year. And just once I'd like to see a little, he's never even lost his hat. It's amazing.
He's a professional.
That man is good. I actually saw the then mayor of Atlantic City hold on to him for dear life as they were crashing through the waves. It's quite a thing to see. And then everybody rushes up with their little bottles, and they take some of the recently blessed water and they take it back home with them. It's a lot of fun. It's truly a blast to go to. The masses are great. Bishop's homilies are always fantastic. And then there's from each of the churches, there's a nice procession to the beach, then across the beach and to the ocean. So it's really nice.
I'm looking forward to it.
People should come. People should come and come talk to you, Jen, because, you always want to be there to meet the people. So I'm encouraging. Listen, everyone, if she's going to be there at Wildwood. She loves to talk to everybody when they're there. And she's constantly writing notes, so you may make it into her article in the paper.
That's true. I am constantly writing notes, like to talk.
And you do like to talk. And then she comes up to me afterwards and says, hey, go get a picture of that group, because I'm going to use them in the article. So you might even make your face might even make it into the paper.
That's true. Yeah. You know, the other photos I look forward to anytime you cover something on the beach is the photo of your work shoes on the beach, proving that you are wearing actual work shoes in the sand.
That's right. Show up ready for work. I'm not one of these guys that shows up in shorts and their flip-flops. No, I walk into the surf with my Oxfords, my long pants, my dark socks.
Yep.
That's right. Well, the thing is, it's a mass. So the thing starts with a mass. So I come dressed for mass. And then I walk down. Actually, I walk ahead of the procession, and then I walk into the water. I haven't ruined a pair of shoes yet.
Just about to ask, how many pairs of shoes have you gone through in the 6 years you've worked that?
Not a single one. Although I will say, 1 year, maybe before I retire, I will finally do the shot that I want to do, which will require me to not be in my work wear, even though I probably would do it. If I throw it away, maybe I'll actually do it. But it's actually to walk out into the surf. I would do this when I worked in secular media. I would cover the polar bear plunges.
Oh yeah.
And the only way to really get that experience is to walk out into the surf and shoot everybody coming at you. And then the irony of that is everyone who does that is so proud of themselves because they ran in for 10 seconds and ran back out again. And I'm sitting there going, I've been out here for 5 minutes. I don't know why you guys are thinking, I'm the one that should be winning the polar bear plunge contest. I'm out here all the time. But the photographers have gotten smart about that. Now they all wear rubber suits out there, surfing suits, to keep themselves from freezing to death.
I love covering polar bear plunge. I did a polar bear plunge one time. You ever done a polar bear plunge?
I just explained what happened.
No, I mean... I mean, have no, I, okay, you mean related.
Have I ever not been paid to run into the water? No, correct. I have never not been okay. paid to run into the water. If I am paid, I will do whatever they need me to do.
You heard that here?
Helicopters.
Helicopter thing with me. Yeah. So what else we have coming up soon? We have
We do want to encourage folks. If you saw the Catholic Star Herald this past week, you saw a great little promo for the next Holy Land pilgrimage of it'll be taking place in February of 2023, and it'll be February 9th to the 18th. You fly to the Holy Land with Father Hughes and Bishop Sullivan. And there's an extended portion for the 18th to the 23rd, where you'll be in Assisi in Rome, which I believe you leave the day after Ash Wednesday. And so you get to be in Rome for Ash Wednesday at the Vatican, as a matter of fact. And because you're with a bishop, you get really good seats for Ash Wednesday at the Vatican. So it's an experience to be seen. So we encourage people to take part in it. If you want to learn more, you can go to pilgrimages.com/Father Hughes. That's FRHUGHES, and learn more. And there's an outside chance that I will actually be on that trip.
An added bonus.
Or maybe a reason why you shouldn't go. But I might be there. And I will be there working, which means I will be doing some talking Catholic stuff. I'll be doing some diocesan stuff. So you might be able to be a part of it.
Talking Catholic podcast from Rome. I love it.
Yes. As a high likelihood that will occur. Probably would do some YouTube videos as well for the YouTube page too.
So maybe you can get Father Romano on the podcast while you're over there.
Hey, that would be nice. That would actually be very nice. So that's it. Come on the Holy Land in Italy pilgrimage with me next year and be part of the show. And then who knows, maybe in 2 years, Jen will go and I'll stay back here and put the paper together.
That sounds like a dream. I'm on board for that.
Figured you'd be up for that. So none of those, however, are the topic of today's podcast. Instead, we are finally getting on one of the newest members of the Catholic Star Herald family, who has really done a great job adding a new flavor to the paper that we've gotten a ton of great response to. So we wanted to make sure we would get him on the podcast. Yep. So who do we have with us, Jen?
So today we have Mark Zamaro. And for those who read the Catholic Star Herald, you'll see he's a familiar face. He's our sports correspondent. He's been writing with us for a while. And he also works with the South Philly Review. So welcome, Mark.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So excited to finally get you on the podcast. I think I even probably mentioned it almost a year ago when we first started working together, like, how can we grow our sports section and how can we get you on the podcast? So
you did it.
Glad to have you on. And we are having you on the heels of expanding our sports coverage. We just ran for the first time, a 4-page sports supplement that has, you know, local high school news, the top 10 moments of the year, and some national news and international news, really, with some of our local high school guys and gals playing internationally, and some of the alums getting drafted by the MLB.
Yeah, it was perfect timing because a lot of things were happening right at that moment. And, you know, especially with the baseball, you know, it's not terribly unusual to have kids from the diocese get drafted Major League Baseball. But it's always exciting when they do, because these kids do work so hard at it. And, you know, it's a big choice for these kids. They still have to decide whether they actually go into the major league system and kind of grunt it out in those lower leagues trying to make it, or they fulfill their college commitments and go that route and maybe get drafted again at a later date. So it's big decisions for these kids, but you know, it's has to be such an honor to hear your name called at that point, you know.
No kidding.
Just dream about playing in these major league parks.
So why don't you tell us, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, but aside from that, the other stories with Olivia Bent Cole, who spent some time, she's a Camden Catholic field hockey player, spent some time over in Europe playing with not only people of her age, she's been doing that for a little while, but she actually got to play with the national women's field hockey team and play against some of the best field hockey nations in the country or in the world. So, you know, what a summer these kids have. I mean, I not knocking the Jersey Shore, but that's what I did in my summers. These kids get to go and play the field on the field, you know, with some of the greatest athletes in the world.
I think she got to play twice. She played once in March and then once in June. Is that right?
Yes. She played the under 21 team just recently over in Ireland. She got to play in Dublin. And then she played, I want to say it was back in March or April, she played with the national women's field hockey team. So, I mean, both huge honors. You know, she's going to Northwestern, where she wants to get into law, which will be, she's a smart kid. And I know she can do it. Just the thing I love about talking with these kids is, you know, they really have their act together. I mean, when I was a senior, she's actually going into her senior year, but when I was a junior and senior, I didn't know what the heck I wanted to do. And she, you know, she may not have it narrowed down exactly what major she's doing, but she knows what she wants to do. She somehow balances all these things that are going on in her life. And just amazing at how their education is preparing them for these moments in their life. And it's not just her. It's a lot of these athletes that you run across.
We had a young man on the program last week that we were interviewing for Catholic. He was part of Catholic Charities, he was interning with Catholic Charities. I would say he was 19, 20, Mike. Yeah. And he just, like you were saying, Mark, just already on the path, knew that he was thinking about immigration, a lawyer immigration path. And I'm thinking when I was 19, 20, I still thought I was going to maybe be like the next Britney Spears or something. I thought I was going to be like a singer or something, you know, like I didn't have such high lofty goals. And yeah, these young people, especially those coming out of our Catholic schools, just seem to already have a straight path to where they want to be.
Yeah. For me, it was, my path is a little different. I actually started in criminal justice as I first went to school, and didn't pan out. I just, as I got into it, about a year and a half into college, I was going to Penn State Abington, one of the smaller campuses near where I live over in Pennsylvania. And I don't know. It just, I didn't know what I was getting into. It was when I was a senior in high school, you were forced to kind of pick a direction. And I was like, okay, I'll go with that. And then the more I got into it, the more I just didn't have the stomach for a lot of the things in the criminal justice field of being a detective or a police officer, the things I was looking at. So I actually took some time off. I took a step back. I started working in a warehouse, actually, in New Jersey for friends of my family. And was still kind of searching for what I wanted to do. And the funny story I tell people of how I got into journalism was it was all from flipping pancakes. I was working at a pancake house down the shore when I was 21 years old. And I met who is still a good friend of mine, Joe Mason, who is now the sports editor at the Northeast Times, which is part of the company I work for with the South Philly Review. And we hit it off and, you know, just had a fun summer. And he was just starting to get into the profession. He was freelancing for the Burlington County Times. And just so happened that summer, they needed people to go out and cover football games. Because back then, you know, we're talking 20 years ago, papers like the Burlington County Times and the Courier Post of South Jersey, they were covering every football game, high school football game there was. And you know, things are very different now as staffs have been depleted, but you know, they needed bodies to go out and cover games. So I was lucky enough to have an in like that. I started doing it. Joe helped me out a lot. They brought me into the office. I met some of the great writers that were there. Ruben Frank, who you see on Comcast covering the Eagles, he worked there at the time. Mike Steelski, he's a columnist for the Inquirer right now and also on WIP just recently. He was working there. Jeff Offord, who has passed away since then. You know, just some great, great people to learn from. And I basically learned on the fly. I started answering phones and writing box scores and little briefs in the paper. And then they started sending me out to more games as they hired me as a part-time writer. And then I went back to school and figured this is what I want to do now. So, I did a semester at the community college just to make sure I was serious about it. And then I went back to Penn State Abington and studied English because I didn't really have journalism there. I would have had to go to the main campus, which I couldn't do at that point in my life. So I studied English and worked all kinds of different positions at the Burlington County Times, just kind of used that as my, my learning experience there. I did 5 years in the news department covering crime and community news and school board meetings and all kinds of things. And then, after 5 years of that, it was a turning point in our company. They wanted to get into video and start some high school sports shows. And they said, we think you'd be the guy to do it because at that point, they were just sending us out with iPhones to make little videos of news assignments and they wanted us to practice. So I used my dog to practice making videos with, and I would make these funny videos and show them around work. And it made its way all the way up the ladder where the higher ups saw these funny dog videos and just said, like, let's get this guy in video. So they started a video department. We started a high school sports show that was called Game On. My dog did appear on that show. He used to pick the winners of the game, the big game each week. And we would do a movie skit around it. I'll have to show you some of these, Jed. I still have some of them saved on my computer.
I totally want to see these because I worked for Gannett at that same amount of time. So I can, you just tried whatever you could to see what would work.
You throw enough stuff against the wall, and some things stick. And, it was a funny thing. It was kind of before we were really good at promoting things. So I don't think it got as much steam as it could have, but, and it also I turned it into way too much work than it should have been, because by the third year we were doing it, I had a buddy helping me and we created a green screen in my basement out of like PVC pipe and a green curtain. And we were just putting in these fake backgrounds and acting out movies. And it was ridiculous.
I love it.
Like 4 or 5 minutes each episode. And they were like, what are you doing? This is just supposed to be a dog picking a game. And, we had this big buildup to it every year. So
I really want to see some of these. And we're going to put them on the Catholic Star Herald website. Are they copyright? Can we use them? Because I love it.
They've all been erased from the Burlington County Times websites and everything. I can't find them anywhere. So the ones I have are probably the only thing that are still around. So I would imagine you could use them.
They're worth gold, Mark. They're worth gold now.
So, but then I continued on with video and I started creating these video highlight packages of sports games. And, it wasn't just me. There were some other guys there doing it. And we really enjoyed doing it. And we thought it was the next wave of how to cover sports. And then, the sad story is, unfortunately, that company was sold, bought by a bigger company. They came in and just cleared out departments. So the video department, the photo departments, we all went in one swoosh out of there. And then, that was the end of my Burlington County Times experience.
But you were there quite a long time, right?
Yeah, about 16 years or so, 16, 17 years in total. So, yeah. I mean, I thank them for giving me my shot. I was bitter that I was let go and everything, but I would never be where I am today. And, working for great companies like the Catholic Star Herald and the Southfield Review and some other freelance work that I do. And, I would have never been able to do that without my start at the Burlington County Times and as much as I did get to learn there in doing so.
And where did you pick up your photography skills? Because anyone who checks out our website and reads us in the paper, you take a lot of photos, Mark, and we've done some great photo galleries with what you've taken too. It's just great photography. And I know a little bit photography, not as much as you and Mike, of course, but I always felt like sports was one of the harder things to catch because of how quickly it's moving.
Yeah, it was a learn on the fly sort of thing with me. I've only been taking photos about 2 years. Once I started with the South Philly Review, they put a camera in my hand and said, just go out and shoot some stuff. And I was interested in doing sports. So I figured, I would go to some high school games and just start there. But about the time I started with the Catholic Star Herald 2 years ago was pretty much as I was starting with that. So I was happy to be able to prove myself quickly. It was Carl was the editor at the time, and mm-hmm. Dave Hernandez, who works for you, and just is an amazing photographer. I mean, and not just good at taking photos, but he was always there to answer my dumb questions when we worked at the Burlington County Times together. We would cover sports games together because I would be there as a reporter. He'd be there as a photographer. And I would just always ask questions about what he was doing and, you know, and he would always answer. And I just kind of soak up that knowledge and used it for when I started. And the video background helped a little bit. You knew how to anticipate things and point a camera at certain things, but yeah, I just kind of picked that up in the last couple of years, but it's so fun. I love shooting stills now, probably more than video. I mean, Mike, you shoot photography too. What do you love about it so much?
I'm in the same boat that I will always prefer stills to videos. I just feel like stills, you know, a still photograph lives forever, right? You know, it's in a room. Someone will post it in a room. It'll exist. And like I'm currently surrounded by some of my photos and some photos of other people, and I just love that. You know, that some of these photos are now 20, 30 years old and they always exist there, where video kind of strikes me as almost it's disposable nowadays. You know, you see videos go up, they're good for that time chunk that it's related to, and they kind of like disappear. Like I've looked at my wedding. I've been married almost 25 years. I've looked at my wedding video twice when we got it on the 1 year anniversary, and that was it. But I've looked at the wedding photos, I don't know, countless times over the years. And it's the same for that. You know, it's I got my start pretty much as a very similar to you, Mark. You know, I didn't have a degree in journalism. I kind of bounced around, found a couple of papers that would take an interest in me. I was a better photographer than I was a writer. I was able to learn the writing, but they wanted to hire me as a hybrid kind of guy. And I worked the Jersey Shore for several years in the mid 90s. And, you know, covering all the municipal stuff, and it was the best, but the photography was what kept me employed. You know, they just needed someone who could take a decent photograph. You know, all due respect to Jen, anybody can write, but a photographer, that's special, you know.
What the?
Yeah. But the sports photography in particular, that was always my favorite. So I was, for the Courier Post, even when I was working here at the very beginning, I was still doing freelance work, working Friday Night Lights, making sure, you know, they would send me out to a couple of games a weekend. I loved it. It's the thing every Friday at the beginning of the fall season, I miss being out there on the football field. But the Courier Post had the same thing. They had all their cutbacks. They got rid of all their stringers, and I wasn't able to do it anymore. As a matter of fact, I missed it so bad 1 year that I actually, for no good reason, just shot football games every Friday night for the Catholic Star Herald instead. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for no rhyme or reason, literally just used my press pass to get out there so I could shoot it a little bit. You know, we printed them all. We did a little thing for them. But, and then that year we started shooting more other sports as well. So Mary McCusker, my former colleague, and I would go out, we would shoot a whole bunch of different sports. And that was sort of like, we knew we wanted to increase the sports coverage in the Catholic Star Herald, and that ended up, it was my hatred of not shooting football that was the genesis of that. And then we realized later on that maybe it was actually a good idea to cover it for real. And thank God you got on our screen, Mark, because the sports writing has been outstanding since then. And having a dedicated sports page is something that we've been wanting to do for quite some time. As a matter of fact, this month's sports package, sports special section, was something we've been talking about for 5 or 6 years. So to actually see it come to fruition is a huge debt of gratitude to you and to Jen and to Dave and to Neil, who's selling it. It's so good to finally see, because to your point, Mark, earlier, so many of the local newspapers just aren't covering high school sports like they used to. And that's a loss for the student athletes. You know, mm-hmm. I was never able, I was given one writing assignment for sports, and I failed it so badly. They never gave me another one. And thank God for that. Cause I realized I can't write high school sports. I can't write about sports in general. I love sports. I can consume sports, but I can't write about sports. It's just not something I'm good at. You can take pictures of it, but I can't write about it. But the thing that's been missing all over the place is, yeah, we don't give these local athletes their due anymore. And so to see these kinds of articles appearing in the Star Herald that can't really don't appear anywhere else with any frequency, and certainly without the depth of talent that we see from you, Mark, I'm just happy that it's there as a service to the student athletes, yeah, and the schools and the coaches. Yeah.
Well, I think we're shorting Jen a little bit on the credit here, because she has not only accepted some of the wild ideas I throw at her, but she makes them better, and she comes up with her own too. So, you know, it has been an absolute pleasure working with Jen. You know, you're welcome. For the first year when I worked at Carl, he didn't know too much about sports, but just said, you know, go out and cover some stuff. And my goal anyway is to not just like cover a game, who wins, who loses, but to, you know, find a story with the sports background. And I think we had some real good ones this year. Just recently, one of my favorites was the young man from Bishop Eustace who has type 1 diabetes and, you know, wears a tracker on his arm. And, you know, it was just a neat dynamic of how him and the catcher for Bishop Eustace were both, they've been friends forever. So the catcher knows when the pitcher is a little off, and, you know, there's so much that goes into it, and you just don't realize like all the things this kid is doing to just play a game. And not only that, but he's also an amazing pitcher, and he's going to, you know, he has a scholarship. He's going to go play in college, but you know, you can't always find stories like that, but you certainly look for them. And, you know, you try to find these stories that revolve around where a kid, their future is going, or something that involves family, or, you know, whatever you can. It's especially writing for a weekly edition, you know, you can't keep up to date with everything as it comes and goes. So you just try to write some stories that, you know, have some shelf life to them.
Yeah.
And that's really what I like about sports and Catholic press. Like you said, Mark, I mean, and to be honest, even the secular locals, the secular dailies, you know, I don't see everyday game coverage there. So you have to try to find out how can you get sports news, you know, in front of the students, the schools, the parents, the grandparents, that are not just game coverage based, but something deeper about, you know, why they play sports, why they're in a Catholic school, where their faith and their sports come together, and then what their future plans are. I mean, a lot of the stories that I enjoy from you have to do with, like you said, about the type 1 diabetes, you know, teams coming together, players coming together, looking out for each other, because that's what we're called to do as Catholics. And then, you know, taking that to the field, you know, where they're combining to. And then, you know, we've also had some fun over the last year where you will be at a championship game and they'll drop me a text and say, guess what? We just won. Let's throw it up online. So we do have some of that in the fact that we're like, okay, let's do it. And then you literally write it on your text message to me and I get it online. And I love it. I get that like breaking news rush again. I'm like, yes, breaking some news here, people. And then, you know, because I'm a competitive person, I'll go check other like secular white sites. And I'm like, we have it first. And I get all excited.
Yeah. And one of the great things is, you know, when I first started a couple of years ago writing for the Catholic Star Herald, you would go to a game and tell the kids are like, where can I find this story? And you say the Catholic Star Herald, and they'd be like, what, you guys cover sports, that sort of thing. Yeah. Whereas now, about, you know, a year and a half, 2 years later, you say you're from the Catholic Star Herald, and they know, like, they've been there before to check out sports. They know that we're covering sports now. And, you know, it always helps when, you know, they're a little more comfortable when they're familiar with where the story is going to be.
Yeah. Oh, I'm happy to hear that. Oh, I'm happy my boss is on here to hear that too.
Well, your boss has been wanting this for 6 years. So your boss is relieved that it finally occurred. That's what your boss is happy about. But actually what he's really happy about is the quality of it. Even, you know, one of the great little elements that you've included, not little, and that's no small work, but one of the elements you've included over the past year or so, a little longer than that, I guess now, is the athletes of the month. I love that. Yeah. I love that gives us every month an opportunity to highlight A, a couple of the schools, but B, some of these student athletes. And oftentimes in areas that or sports that might not often get newspaper coverage, you know? So it's a great thing to be able to see, you know, and I really like the quality of it too. And you do a great little featurette, and this kind of goes back to what both of you were talking about earlier, is that yes, because we're a weekly, unless it's unusual circumstance like a championship, we're just not going to cover things in real time. But those features, those little highlights, those roundups, I think people love reading those kinds of things. And once again, to something I think Jen said earlier, they're evergreen. So they're up there, they're forever, and they do a great job of showcasing the school, showcasing the students, which is great. And which is something we do in all the other elements. Like we cover the arts in our schools, we cover the academics in our schools, but we just had never really had an opportunity to cover the sports. So it's great that we have that.
And it goes back to what you're saying about, you know, it's the kids that have been missing out, because as these other bigger papers don't cover high school sports anymore, they're not recognizing, you know, with all county teams and things like that mm-hmm. anymore. It's a shame, because I mean, we used to have fights in the office picking these all county teams when I worked for the Burlington mm-hmm. County Times. Like the football was the biggest one. We would gather in one of the conference rooms, order some pizzas, and just hash it out for, you know, 5 hours of just putting up our cases of why this kid should be on there and why this kid is better than this kid. And, you know, put so much time and effort into those things, and then they just don't do them anymore. You know, there's some all South Jersey teams, but it's basically, I mean, to pull back the curtain a little bit, a lot of that is just asking, you know, this team had a real good year, call up a coach and say, who's your best kid? And then you put them on a team and slot them in. Like that's how those things get picked now. And a lot of worthy kids that might fly under the radar a little bit don't get that recognition. So it is nice. I love doing the athlete of the month every week, because it gives me a chance to kind of, you know, sit back and kind of see what has happened, because you can't follow everything that's going on and realize like, oh, wow, this kid's really having a great year. Let's get his name in the paper. This girl she's just out of this world right now. You know, let's get her in there. And, you know, and it might be a sport that we don't get to cover. So, I mean, the bigger papers, they do cover, you know, football and soccer and things like that, but they're not covering track meets or cross country or tennis or, you know, things like the smaller sports just get nothing out of those papers anymore. So it's really nice that we can, you know, provide a little bit of coverage there and, you know, recognize some kids and just give them 100 words or so of, you know, what they're doing.
You know, another one of my favorite stories this year was Martin Cosgrove, I believe, the wrestling camp, because of, you know, that he had missed that a whole year. So now he kind of got to prepare and go back and nail it. That was another one of my favorites, the wrestling championship. Like you're saying, sometimes there's some sports that we don't get to cover, but was happy that we were able to get that article and then also have somebody on the scene to take some photos that in real time. So that was another good one.
And he was such a humble kid too. I mean, he's a kid that won a state championship his sophomore year, as you said, and then you know, had to miss the junior year because he had broken a bone in his hand, wasn't able to wrestle. Senior year, he comes back and wins it all. And he's just, it wasn't, there's just no cockiness about him or anything like that. He just was so humble to do that. And to put that in perspective is you get these athletes that win state championships, but it's usually like a non-public state championship or, you know, a group, this group, whatever. Like wrestling is just the best kid in state at each weight class. And that's what he was. He was the best wrestler at, 215 pounds or something like that. That is really an accomplishment. He was the only one from South Jersey, of any school in South Jersey, public, non-public, to win a state championship, because the North usually wins those. So just an amazing accomplishment for Martin. And he's an Ivy Leaguer. He's going to the University of Pennsylvania. So he's got a bright future ahead of him.
That's amazing. What school was he from? I think he was from Camden Catholic.
This past season, actually, I feel like there were a lot of great stories like that. Even the Paul VI volleyball team and their run, that was great to watch week after week as well, as they were – what did they win? They went sectionals and made it to the championship, but didn't win the championship, I think.
No, they won the whole, they won the, oh, okay. They won the public whole championship. And then they do what's called a tournament of champions afterwards. So you take all the public winners, group one through four, and then the non-publics, and then they have a little tournament of those. And they did lose to Williamstown, who was the best team in the entire state, but that's the only one they lost to in the tournament of champions. I think their other losses were teams they traveled down to Maryland or something to play in some tournaments, and they lost earlier in the year. Different rules, all kinds of things there. So that was just, yeah, what a great accomplishment, because they had never done, you know, they've never won a state championship before. And they're not to get ahead of ourselves, but they're going to be really good again, because they had one senior on their team last year. I mean, yes, she was one of their best players, Sadie Harrison, but they got everybody back. So that's, they might be there again. That'd be really exciting.
Well, my son's going there next year. So he's very, and a number of his former or fellow students at St. Michael's Elementary School are going to PBI too. And two of them are volleyball players. So he's very invested in the volleyball team this year. So we're going to keep an eye on sports? He does. He has dreams of being a D1 baseball player at some point. So he's going to join the PBI freshman baseball team. He's going to the PBI basketball camp to see about if he can play basketball for PBI this year. He fortunately, his mother was a collegiate swimmer, so he's got some good genes in him. He's not getting that from his dad's side. His dad was a high school football player and was simply a lineman. My job was to move the same amount of flesh 3 feet in one direction or the other. That was it. That was just a matter of body mass on that one. So he's looking forward to playing high school sports, hopefully. And we're looking forward to following him. I'm letting the readers know now, I do not dictate anything about school's coverage. So if my son were to make it in the paper, it has nothing to do with me, but I'm not holding my breath. So every other day. Speaking of the upcoming year, Mark, I'm curious, do you have any sort of perspective on like what we can see, at least maybe amongst the fall sports, as 2023 gets started?
Sure. Yeah. There's going to be some great teams again. I mean, if you read our top 10 moments of last year, which it seems like you did, you would have seen the Camden Catholic field hockey team on there. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Olivia Bent-Cole earlier, and a few of her teammates are playing for those younger national teams too. And Ava Moore, who I believe is going to Wake Forest, I want to say, and then her younger sister, Bella Moore, and there's a fantastic goalie, Emily Nichols. They have a lot of, they did lose some good seniors from that team that went to the state championship last year and lost to Oak Knoll, but they're very good. And they have the main pieces coming back in Bent-Cole and Moore. And Ava Moore last year, I watched that game, the state championship game. She was playing on one leg. She was so hurt. You know, having her back at full strength potentially could really give Camden Catholic a chance to win a state championship this year. So that's one of the main things I'm looking at. There's, of course, all the other sports. There are some very good teams. Football, St. Augustine always has a juggernaut of a team. Last year they went 9-2. They lost to a team from Maryland, I want to say, and then lost to Don Bosco Prep, which is a just perennial power in the North. Otherwise, you know, they were 9-2. So that was their only losses. Paul the Sixth should have a good team again. They're coming off a real nice 7-3 season last year. Mm-hmm. Holy Spirit's always a good team. They had a bit of a little hiccup last year as they only went 5-6, but they'll be back. So there'll be plenty in football to watch on Friday nights. So like you, I get that crazy chill of like going out on a Friday night to early in the season to watch football games. There's just something about it.
I have to admit, I'm a little annoyed at the managing editor that she never assigns me any Friday night football games. So I'm hopeful maybe this fall she'll get it together and assign me a game or two.
Well, you know, now that Catholic Star Herald has our photo galleries up and running, I think it would be great if you would like to go out on Fridays and take photos, and we can upload them to the gallery, and then our readers can download them.
I think that's a great idea.
I would love to do that. That's one of my favorite things. I've shot every sport in the world, but Friday nights, those are still my favorites. Still my favorites.
Yeah.
And to your point, Jen, you know, you said this earlier, and I meant to address it a little while ago. You don't understand how people can shoot sports photography. Like you're saying, you don't know how we do it. You know what it is? It's a little bit of knowledge and a little bit of preparation. It's if you know how the game is going, you can start to get a feel for what's going to happen next, particularly in football, which is very strategic. You know, basketball, you can get an idea, but it's so random that unless somebody's just being fed the ball constantly, you're not sure what's going to happen. But football, you can actually kind of start to see it happen, and you can kind of anticipate plays over time, particularly as you get more comfortable with the teams. Although I will say that it is still the thing that drives me insane every single time that a great play runs to the opposite side of the field. Like, why am I on the wrong side of the field right now? Ah, such anger.
Every time.
But,
or sometimes anyway. you just get really lucky with the shot too. Okay. My favorite is one of those where I shouldn't have been where I was sort of things. I was covering a softball game over in Philadelphia. I was doing a Archbishop Ryan because I do some work for the Philly Sports Digest. And they like to get a couple video clips in there too. So I took my big video camera and I figured like, well, I'll go out to the outfield and get a couple shots of them pitching the ball in, which you don't really do for photography, stills photography, because you're far away from where most of the action is. You know, I'm sure if you shot baseball or softball before, you know, first base, home plate, that's usually where most of the good action is going to happen. So I'm all the way out in the outfield and I was just about to turn on that camera and I had my stills camera in my hand and I just hear the crack of the bat. And then this girl is running right at me as I'm standing in the outfield, almost like close enough where she's going to hit me. And I actually have a long lens on there. So I just backed up and just started firing some shots at her. And she caught the ball like as she hit, it was one of those temporary fences, like a snow fence in skiing. And she hit that like, and I got the shot like right as she's making this great face. She's facing me too, which was, you know, a 50-50 chance. And she has the ball in her glove right as she comes down with it. And I'm just like, I just had the best shot of my life and I was not supposed to be here.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Nope. Yeah. It is like amazing how luck works into all this.
Yeah. And that's the background of my wallpaper on my screen usually or something. That's, like you said, you keep the stills around. You don't keep the videos. They're just they're out somewhere.
Yeah.
What do you think is the hardest sport to photograph?
I don't know. I'd say, baseball is pretty hard because there's a lot of there's not a lot of action for the amount of time that you're there. Like things happen and then boom, 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 real quick. And then there's just a lot of standing around for like a long time. And you also, it's hard to predict, as Mike was saying, like you don't know where the ball is going to go. So if you're there to shoot a feature on somebody, it's even harder because you're trying to get, you know, maybe the left fielder making a play, but you don't know when somebody's going to hit one out the left field. They might not get a ball out there that day, you know? That's so right. that could be hard.
Baseball is always tough because based on the angles, you know, sometimes there's only so many places you can put your body and it is difficult unless you're friendly with the park you're at. You know, sometimes getting into a spot where you can get a good shot, you're behind a fence, you're shooting over a fence, you're shooting through a fence. It can always be difficult. Although I would say, in my mind, the hardest one to shoot, let me phrase, not the hardest one to shoot, it's the most frustrating one to shoot, is swimming. Swimming for me is always the most difficult one. If you notice most swimming photos, it's somebody getting into the pool or getting out of the pool. It's rarely the action of in the pool because their head is down half the time. Yeah. So you got to hope that it's somebody who's going to be in a couple of different heats so you can get a couple of different shots at them, or else you're stuck with the classic person in a pool slapping hands with the person out of the pool as your shot. So
even to your point of going to do a feature on somebody, I felt like the paparazzi following around the Gloucester Catholic kid, Tanner Tanner Jones, was it?
Yeah.
So yeah, because I didn't know what I was going to get that day, and so I'm just following him around as he's talking to people and snapping photos, and then I lucked out. I did get a really good photo of him that day when he was.
You did.
It was like in stride with the one. It was like 1-2 coming down the stretch, and they're both like looking at each other, which was pretty wild. I had never shot swimming before, so I just kind of guessed at where to be, and you know, got lucky that day too.
And that's I remember that shot because Dave Hernandez came into the proofing room and he picked up the before I went to print and he picked it up. He's like, "Are you kidding me? This is like the hardest thing to shoot," and he got it. Like he was really, yeah. I mean, we were laughing, had a good laugh about it.
Total luck.
And that's the thing. And you know, of all the sports to actually be present for, I've always said the most difficult is track and field and swimming because it is a cacophony of sound and movement and everything. Mm-hmm. Like I now know people who run those meets and I still don't understand what's going on at any given time. Now, if you're a part of it, you do. My sister-in-law who runs the summer meets here in South Jersey, she laughs at me constantly. She's like, "Yeah, it's just this and this." I'm like, "Yeah, if you know what's going on, it's this and this. If you're an outsider, you're like, you are lost. You know, you're hoping for the best. And everybody looks alike and everybody's got caps on and it's crazy." So it drives me nuts. So I don't, Jen, for future reference, I do not volunteer for swim meets or track and field meets. But all the classic sports I'm there for. Diving, I'll do. Diving is fun. I'm a little more regimented.
I've heard wrestling is like that too, because there are so many matches going on at the same time. Like if there's two that you want to shoot at the same time, you have to choose because, So we'll be signing you up for all three of those, Mr. Walsh. That's what we're
here. And try getting a good shot of Martin Cosgrove as he pins a kid in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
That's right. Just start shooting and hope for the best.
Yeah. Yeah. Just rapid fire for 15 seconds and hope he gets something because that's all he's giving you.
It's not easy. And you get better at it as you move along. And the people who are good photographers, you know, they end up doing it until they die. And as I've told to Jen many times, she'll say, "Hey, Mike, you know this photographer?" And I'll be like, "Yeah, I hate that guy." Now it might be different now, but we were back in the day. Sports photographers were a very competitive bunch, and unless we got together to play poker, I don't recall ever liking any of them. But I'd also feel incredible pangs of jealousy whenever they got a better shot than me. Now, maybe it's me. They may not have felt this way at all, but I remember hating all of them. So, I hate all of the photographers. We're very jealous.
Mark does not feel the same way because there's silence.
Mark seems like a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
I'm just too new. I'm not in the photographer clique yet. You know, I've been to a few things, but I haven't really competed against anyone. So, you know, I always come out on top because I'm the only one there.
Well, that is the difference is, you know, it used to be there would be four or five newspapers covering like one of the bigger football games or basketball games or stuff like that. Nowadays, it's the school photographer, me, and depending on the quality of the game, maybe somebody else, but it's very, very rare, which kind of bums me out a little bit because I feel bad for these guys. You know,
well, and it's always this good, year, it's always more good sports photos. More sports That's photos right. this year. And yes, ma'am. We're looking forward to what's coming up for you, Mark, for writing for the fall. And you want our listeners to know, there'll be more Athletes of the Month coming and more Friday Night Light photos coming.
Absolutely. I cannot wait to get out there again.
And and we did get a complaint when I was doing the Friday Night Lights, like, what about all the other sports? Yes, I will make sure that Jen sends me out to other sports as well. You know, we'll make sure we get girls field hockey. We'll get soccer. We'll get all the stuff, not just the boys running into each other at 15 miles an hour.
Right.
So there you go. Well, hey, Mark, it has been an absolute pleasure. We're going to have to start bringing you into the office every now and again so that you can get to know everybody. And Jen, thank you very much for continuing to make Mark a part of the publication and all the other great work that we do here. And to our listeners, if you haven't had a chance yet, I recommend you check out the Catholic Star Herald. It's a great publication and we cover not just South Jersey stuff. We cover a lot of New Jersey and international. So you can check that out as well. So thank you very much, everybody. And we'll talk to you again next week. See ya.